Time is 6 p.m. We'll call this meeting to order. We'll start with a Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Before we do roll call, I'd like to introduce Joseph Summers, who sits on the far left here. He's a new member of Planning and Zoning, so Commissioner, let's welcome aboard, and we look forward to working with you. Mr. Desjardins, roll call, please.
Commissioner Desjardins, present. Commissioner Summers?
Present.
Commissioner Estelle?
Here.
Commissioner Kobelik?
Here.
Commissioner Lofton?
Here.
Commissioner Pike?
Here.
Commissioner Poole?
Present.
And Chairperson Lundy, absent, right?
Yes.
Okay. All present are accounted for.
All right, good. We have a quorum. We can begin the meeting. Thank you very much. All right, additions and changes to the agenda. I'd like to make a motion to move agenda item 8A, old business, before item 7, public hearings. The reason is this is going to be tabled right out of the gate. Does anybody in the public have any concerns about this, moving this?
No.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Any discussion, commissioners? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none. Thank you very much. All right. Minutes. Approval of the September 26, 2023 regular meeting minutes. Make an assumption that all the commissioners have read the meeting minutes. Any questions?
Nope.
Nope.
Questions? All right. Do we have a motion to approve them?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none. Meeting minutes approved. Thank you. Remarks from the public, not relating to items on the agenda. Remarks from the public, not relating to items on the agenda. One last time, any remarks from the public on items not related to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, thank you. All right, we're going to go right now, since we approved it, we're going to go to 8A, which has been moved up to in front of the public hearing. Correct?
Yep. Yes. And I have an update for you.
All right.
If you're ready.
Yes, please.
So this is the property address is 125 Depot Road. This is the Marine Materials Management and Transloading Facility. And that's the manufacturing of dredge materials that is proposed on one portion of the Gateway Terminal. Mm-hmm. At the last meeting, Attorney Heller and Al Kovalev gave you a presentation. Mm-hmm. At that time, staff had not reviewed these two documents or the plans. We have since done that. We have recently gotten revised plans, but I'm still pending comments from the town engineer. Plans for the coastal just came in today, so I'm going to recommend that the application be tabled for pending staff and your county engineer on location. So we haven't had a chance to review about it yet. Attorney Heller is here in the audience. I don't know if he has something he would like to say. Other than that, I recommend the application be tabled.
Make a motion to table the application until the next meeting.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Does the attorney have any?
He's looking at me.
Yeah, you got a motion on the floor.
Does the attorney have any?
We're in discussion phase right now. Attorney Heller, would you like to say something?
Just that there are some inconsistencies between the deed permit and our town application that we're working out with staff. So we agree.
All right. Thank you very much. Any further discussion, commissioners? There's a motion that's been seconded. Discussion is completed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Well, I love the pace of this.
Okay. 7A, public hearing 23-1-958, Route 163, parcel ID 046-008-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner applicant, the Navarre Company / Dean Fisk for proposed two-lot re-subdivision. And I'm going to reopen this public hearing. We had this last month. I'm going to reopen this public hearing. And staff, would you like to read?
Yes.
Exhibits?
Exhibits from the last meeting that we're going to review to the record. Number 32 is the end of 31 at the last hearing. Number 32 is revised plan. One lot in subdivision at 9-63, parcel ID 046-008-000, which is dated July 17, 2023, 9-21-28, revisions received at 9-26-23. Exhibit 33 is a draft driveway easement received on 10-18-23. Exhibit 44 is a draft easement for drainage that we received on 10-18-23. Exhibit 35 are two emails from John B. Chase dated 10-23, 6:20 p.m. and 10-11 p.m. received this morning on 10-24-23. Exhibit 36 is an extension letter dated 10-24-23, which I will read into the record in just a bit. Number 37 are planner comments, number 4 dated 10-24-2023. Exhibit 38 is email from Lake Bird to John Chase dated 10-24-23. And exhibit 39 is email from Mike Kirby of Focus Health dated 10-24-23. So I want to just refresh your memories on this application. This application is for a one-lot re-subdivision for a residential single-family home. As of it was opened at the last meeting, but it was continued because we did not have DOT comments on work in the state right-of-way of Route 163. At this time, we still don't have those comments. Okay, so I want to let you know that. Also outstanding is we did receive access and drainage easements in favor of a neighboring property owner. Mm-hmm. Those easements have been referred to that those property owners in Las Vegas, also to our town attorney, who has not had the opportunity yet to review those. And our attorney, Las Vegas attorney, is also reviewing those, and he just received them today. So that's also outstanding. And then outstanding comments, student at 10-24-23 by Attorney Chase, both on behalf of Mosway and myself, require review and comment by staff and the applicant. So we do have Casey here from Solid Engineering, and I would like to give him the opportunity to speak. But we did receive a letter dated today from Solid Engineering. Sarah London, Chairperson, Montville Planning and Zoning Commission, 310 North Street, London Turnpike, Uncasville, Connecticut, regarding request for extension, re-subdivision application, PZ number 23-1-958-163, parcel ID 046-008-000, Oakdale, Connecticut, 06320. Dear Chairperson Lundy, ID and Fisk of the Navarre Company, 677 Main Street, Chester, Connecticut, 06410. And the applicant property owner for PZC application number 2371 for a one-lot lease-up at 958-163 Oakdale, create one new lot. Hereby request the Planning and Zoning Commission continue the public hearing for this application from October 24th to the November 14, 2022 regular meeting of the Commission, and I grant the Commission a 16-day extension of time to said date to close said public hearing, signed June 5th, the Navarre Company, dated 10-24-23. The decision required date on this originally was October 30th, so the applicant can grant, you have to close a public hearing within 35 days, but the applicant can grant you an extension of time to close that hearing and has done so in this letter to extend it to 11-14-2023 when they hope to have all the outstanding issues taken care of. Again, we're waiting on DOT comments, most importantly. I would recommend that, you know, you allow the applicant to speak if he has something to say. Casey, that you right? We've never really met him in person. We feel like we know him, though. I would also recommend that you give the public, any public that's here, the opportunity to speak one more. But at that time, I do recommend keeping the hearing open until 11:40.
Okay, before we go to you, sir, any questions from the commission for staff? None?
Nope. Good evening, board members. For the record, my name is Casey Birch. I'm with Solely Engineering. I'm here on behalf of the Navarre Company. We are, Liz summed it up well, we're still waiting on DOT comments. We would like to get the review of the easement documents that we submitted as well. But I'm here tonight mainly just to kind of hear what the public's opinion. I believe there was some comments from Mr. Chase that we'd like to get on record so we can, you know, work with our plans and hopefully satisfy everybody's conditions.
Okay. Do we have any questions for? Yes.
I noticed on the plans on sheet 1 and 2. Sheet 1 is the northern portion of the parcel. Sheet 2 is the southern portion. It follows the standard procedure of identifying a match line between the two sheets. But sheets 1.11 and 1.12 do not do that. Please. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commissioners? Good point. Thank you very much. All right. Now we'll open it to public comment. All those in favor of this two-lot re-subdivision, we welcome your comments at this time. Is there anybody who would like to speak in favor? Anybody like to speak in favor? Okay, would anybody like to speak opposed to this? Anybody like to speak opposed to this? Last call on opposed. Okay, thank you very much. Yes, yes.
So we did receive this email from Attorney Chase this morning at 10 o'clock. We did post it online immediately. Any of you or all of you had a chance to read it? I did ask Mr. Chase to show up in person and read this into the record, but in abundance of caution, I think that perhaps I should read this into the record because it came in at such a late time.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. Mm. All right.
You want to go to the microphone so we get it?
Oh, sure.
Clear.
Well, I'm pretty loud anyway, though. You all know that.
Well,
you might not be
on that. Me up on those speakers, but I will just in case. So I received this email this morning at 10:11. Well, it was sent at 10:11 last night. I got it first thing this morning at 8 o'clock. I forwarded it to Meredith and she posted it on the website. So it's been up today. The email says, Liz, in an effort to at least make a start on reviewing the proposed easement documents that were provided to me by the Mosleys, after retaining my services today for the limited purposes referenced in my previous email, I have taken a further look at the current revised new subdivision plans received 9/26/2023, as these are referred to in the form repository section of the Town Lotville website. I note that the current new subdivision plan, sheet 1 of 2, which depicts the proposed driveway and drainage easements, the existing 664.69-foot boundary line between the property now formerly of Mosway, just south of the Mosway's existing driveway, is depicted as a stone farm wall per the plan legend. This is further depicted as extending 121.88 feet in a southeasterly direction from the easterly end of the first mentioned line, then 50.92 feet in a northerly, northeasterly direction to Route 163, then south along Route 163, continuing onto Sheet 2 to the area of the existing house on proposed Lot 1. Suppose Lot 1 is the lot with the old farmhouse on it. Mm-hmm. Several of the foregoing are also boundaries of the proposed driveway easement. However, in reality, upon my own personal knowledge, there are no stone walls at any of these locations. This may be readily confirmed by visual inspection of the Moss Road driveway. These incorrect depictions of non-existing stone walls are also shown in the easement enlargement detail on the said sheet 1 and 2. Besides this, making an evaluation of proposed easement areas shown on the plans very confusing. For example, these walls are shown running across the Moss Road driveway at several locations. These mapping areas appear to violate section 4.3.6 of the Montville subdivision regulations, which require that the subdivision plan include a boundary survey depicting all existing buildings and stone walls. Stone walls which are shown on a boundary survey plan do not exist in reality, clearly cannot be existing stone walls. Were the plans to be approved in their present state and then filed with the town clerk accordingly, significant confusion may result in the future, especially given the relative hierarchy of features such as stone walls and the interpretation of deeds. I note that these survey plans showing stone walls, which in fact do not exist, bear the seal and signature of Robert P. Pryor, Land Surveyor of Connecticut 19078. Furthermore, the opposite problem exists on sheet 2.2 of the subdivision plans, which fails to depict the stone wall, which actually does prominently exist along Route 163 in front of the existing house on proposed Lot 1. It also exists as one proceeds southerly along Route 163 for a distance of 700 feet. While not directly relevant to my review of the above reference proposed driveway and drainage easements, these omissions of existing stone walls, which are readily visible on the side of the road as one drives past the site, appear to violate section 4.3.6 also. Because the two proposed easement deeds, which I have been asked to review in their current form, merely reference easements as shown on said sheet 1 of 2, without further legal descriptions in the deeds themselves, it could be concluded the depiction on the sign and seals plans of stone walls running along and across the Moscow driveway, which do not exist in reality, hinders or impairs a more conclusive review as to the sufficiency of the proposed easement documents. I therefore recommend that the plans be revised accordingly by the applicant as a preliminary to my further review of the proposed easement. So I'm going to comment there and I'll let the applicant address that. But the plans will be, hang on just a second, the plans are going to be revised accordingly. But I'll let him explain to you after I read the letter. Very truly yours, John B. Chase. P.S. In addition, it seems curious that in the area of the proposed driveway easement and elsewhere, the sign and seal plan show a 25-foot side yard setback on proposed lot 2 behind, i.e. to the west of the 60-foot rear yard setback on proposed lot 1. Section 6.6 of the Montville zoning regulations require setbacks as followed in the R120 district. 6.6.1, front yard 60 feet, 0.2, side yard 25 feet, 0.3, rear yard 60 feet. The above-referenced 25-foot side yard setback runs parallel to Route 163, but approximately 250 feet west of it. However, per the definitions contained in the zoning regulations, a yard requires side is required unoccupied space between the building line and the side lot line, and is measured perpendicular from the side lot line to the closest point of the principal building. But a lot line side is a side lot line. Is any lot line, front lot line, or rear line bounding a lot and extending from the street towards the rear in a direction approximately perpendicular to the street? Clearly, a line that is parallel to a street cannot also be perpendicular to the same street. In practical terms, the treatment of this area running parallel to Route 163 is a 25-foot side yard on the subdivision plan, results in a portion of the proposed drainage easement being within the buildable area of lot 2, i.e. outside any yard setback. As a result, the building rights and owner of lot 2, the non-exclusive rights over the same area to be granted to Mr. and Mrs. Mosswood under the proposed easement may be in conflict. However, because the commission lacks authority to vary the zoning regulations, the lot line side and yard required side definitions do not appear capable of being made to apply here, even though shown on such plan. Before I let the applicant address the first part of that, I just want to let you know that I did, in fact, read through this several times to make sure I was responding properly, but I did send a reply email to Mr. Chase saying, good morning, John. I reviewed your email since me at 10/11. Easement documents are emailed and forwarded to Montville Town Attorney Matt Willis for review and comments with respect to the stone walls referenced in your email. The applicant shall revise the plans accordingly. With regard to appeals regarding setbacks, the setbacks are shown correctly in the plan set. The boundary that you opine should be a front yard setback is in fact proposed lot 2 side yard setback. The setback is in the question that you state runs parallel to Route 163, in fact runs parallel to proposed lot 1's rear boundary line, which is not a front lot line, separating lot from the street in accordance with the Montville Zoning Regulations Section 2 definitions. And I wrote out the definition of a front lot line is the lot line separating a lot from a street right-of-way, not from a boundary, and required unoccupied space between the building line, the front lot line, and measure perpendicularly to the building at the closest point to the front lot line. So the lot line that Mr. Chase references, which is the rear boundary line of proposed lot 1, mm-hmm. is not in fact a front yard. Mm-hmm. It is a side yard. Now, mm-hmm. we actually asked the applicant to correct that, mm-hmm. and to show it as a 25-foot side yard. So mm-hmm. I did respond in kind to Mr. Chase. I just wanted to let you know that. And here, we're going to have to microphone. Sorry, I know that was long. I need it out quickly.
It is what it is.
And you can read all of this online. It's all posted on the website.
All yours. Go ahead.
So for the first part of that, Mr. Chase is referring to the property line running along here. Mm-hmm. Our subdivision plan did show there were two layers in our CAD file. One was a no plot layer. I'm not sure how it got shown. But we do, in the plans that we do have, a plan from DGT that shows the correct stone wall line. And our other layer does show that same line. So I will revise this to have all the correct stone walls along this property. Now the second one, I think along the, I believe he's referring to.
No.
No, he's okay.
No. So lot one is the upper lot.
Yeah.
And the rear boundary line, point that out. No.
Yeah.
Okay, so no, the rear boundary, not that one here, I'll show
you. Oh, the rear boundary.
Okay, so this is proposed lot one. This is proposed lot one's rear boundary line. So this house does not require a front yard setback because it's only a setback to the side yard. The front yard setback is anything along the street line.
I think he's talking about along here.
He said it's readily visible on the road.
I'm gonna confirm all the stone walls as well, just to double check. But I believe he's referring to the stone wall in this location, which we picked up is only, I think, probably less than 100 feet. So I'm not going to verify the 700 reference in his letter, but I'm sorry, they didn't only pick up this along the wall, along the street. But we are going to go out there and double check and we'll be back to the plan.
So you cited 100, he says 700?
Several hundred?
Let me see. The one that he's saying that actually exists. Let me say, just as furthermore, the opposite problem exists on sheet 2.2, which failed to depict the stone wall, which actually does prominently exist along Route 163 in front of the existing house on proposed lot 1. So that's the farmhouse. While not directly relevant to or near the above reference proposed driveway, these omissions of existing stone walls, which are readily visible on the side of the road as one drives past the site, appear to violate section 4.3. So he's talking about the stone walls in front of the house.
Okay.
So if you could, you know, the applicant says that they'll send a survey out there and verify,
right.
you know, actual stone walls along Route 163. And if anything needs to be revised, they agree to revise the.
Of course, very well.
Are the stone walls being used to identify the property line?
Mm-hmm.
They can be. Yeah. You know, a lot of communities reference stone walls as boundary lines. I think because this is a survey, there's leaps and bounds. Back in the day, it was from, the hole in the rock
to the oak.
The stone wall into a drill hole in the big old oak,
right.
which maybe is gone now. So, current survey practices, there's a B2 survey that was done with this. So this survey would reference meets and bounds, and you can see it right on your map, that it shows distances of boundary lines on the map.
Finite measurements?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Nature survey, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, shallow.
Okay.
Instrument.
All right.
So that's what we got. We still need to do a little work. As soon as DOT comments come in, we need to make sure the driveway can stay in that position. If they want it moved because of sight line, they'll have to revise the plan again.
All right. Anything else you'd like to offer?
No, thank you very much, and thank you for your patience.
Well, you're very welcome. Commissioners, any questions, comments? Staff, anything else you'd like to offer?
No, I would again
just recommend that the application be continued, the public hearing be continued,
and not
closed
tonight to the
11:14:23
meeting.
All right, do we have a motion to extend public the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Public hearing will be extended to 11:14. Thank you. Okay, so technically we need to, okay, got it, okay. 7B, discussion and decision, 23-1-958, Route 163, parcel ID 046-008-000, Oakdale, Connecticut, owner applicant, Navarre Company, Dean Fisk, for proposed two-lot re-subdivision.
Same thing.
Well, we need a motion to table this one to the 11-14-23 meeting along with the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All right. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. All right. 7C, public hearing, 23CZZZC3, zoning regulation text amendment to amend section 21A.2.3, cannabis moratorium effective date. Applicant, Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. We're going to open this public hearing. Staff, would you like to start, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm going to read the staff exhibits into the record. I'll be as quick as possible. Exhibit 1 is copy of the application to the amendment to zoning regulations. Exhibit 2 is copy of the letter to Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments in accordance with Connecticut General Statute 8-3B, which is dated September 27, 2023. Exhibit 3 is the original application signed by PCC Chairperson Sarah Lundy, dated September 26, 2023. Staff exhibit number 4 is emailed to Town Clerk's Office requesting proposed amendment to zoning regulation to be posted in the Town Clerk's Office on September 27, 2023. Staff exhibit 5, date stamp copy of the proposed amendment to zoning regulations received by the Town Clerk's Office on September 27, 2023, 11:44 a.m. Item 6, exhibit 6, copy of emailed letters to various municipalities dated September 27, 2023. A, Town Clerk Waterford, B, Salem Town Clerk, C, Preston Town Clerk, D, North City Clerk, E, Ledger Town Clerk, F, East Lyme Town Clerk, and G, Bowser Town Clerk. Exhibit 7 is copy of legal ad to be published in the town website on September 27, 2023. Exhibit 8 is copy of legal ad published in the day on October 13th, 2023 and October 20th, 2023. Exhibit 9, letter from Nicole Haggerty of Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments dated October 18th, 2023. And exhibit 10 is staff report dated October 23rd, 2024. And that would be my staff report, which I'm going to go over very, very quickly with you. So at the last meeting, prior to setting this for public hearing, we discussed what this was all about, okay? This is to extend the moratorium on cannabis establishments until April of 2024. We had some new members, we had an opening for another new member, and we spent a lot of time on the public hearing to not have it in town at all. So we used up a lot of our time on that, but we really, really have to look at regulations. Mm-hmm. So that was the purpose for this text amendment. So this is a text amendment. So we referred it to Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governors as required by law. Nicole Haggerty, Planner 2, responded on 10/18, based on review of the material provided, I have determined that the proposed amendment will not have a negative intermunicipal impact. The application was referred to adjacent towns as a courtesy. You don't have to, by statute, refer it out. We received no responses. Public hearing was noticed in the day on October 13th and 20th, 2023, and the application was posted in the office of the town clerk on September 26th, 2023, as required by the statute. So I just want to get that legal stuff out of the way and let you know that we followed all the proper procedures. So we have a copy of your application in here. It's pretty simple. You're really just amending, I have to find it. You're really just amending to one paragraph. Couple of words actually. So, let's see if I can find the word in here. Let's see if that. There it is. So, you're amending 21A.2, which is cannabis moratorium, subsection. 3, which is effective date and term, it will say this temporary emergency moratorium that originally became effective on May 1st, 2023 through November 1st, 2023 is hereby extended for a period of 6 additional months to April 30th, 2024. Hmm. That's all I have, folks. I obviously recommend approval, and there is a motion, a suggested motion, if the commission should decide to act favorably. I remind commissioners that if you vote to deny an application, you have to take 3 weeks. That's all I have.
All right, so this public hearing is open?
Yes.
Would anybody like to speak in favor of the extension? Anybody like to speak in favor? One more time, anybody like to speak in favor? Hearing none, anybody like to speak opposed? Anybody like to speak opposed to it? Anybody like to speak opposed to it? Hearing none? Commissioners? Questions? Nothing for staff?
None.
All right. I'm going to need a motion to close this public hearing.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none. Thank you. 7D, discussion and decision. 23CC3, zoning regulation text amendment.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
We did not do the motion to approve the text change.
Yeah, you have to close, you do the motion to close the public hearing, and then you have to act on the application item. D.
That is D. That's why I'm just reading right now.
Did you do a motion to close the hearing?
Yes.
Yes.
So, okay. So item D is acting on the application.
Okay. Yeah, D is the next item on the agenda.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's okay. D, discussion and decision, 23CC3, zoning regulation text amendment to amend section 21A.2.3, cannabis moratorium effective date. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve application 23ZC1 to amend section 21A.2.3, cannabis moratorium, to the Montville zoning regulations to extend the moratorium on cannabis establishments to April 30th, 2024, to allow the Commission additional time to review possible regulations regarding same. The effective date of this amendment is October 30th, 2023.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, thank you. 9A, 23-3, 145 Moxie Road, parcel ID 009-022-000, Uncasville, Connecticut. Applicant property owner, Sunmar RAF Builders, LLC, for a two-lot subdivision. Staff report, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. of the plan. Do you all have a copy that you can sort of follow along with?
Yes.
And for the most part, you're going out. The first sheet represents existing conditions. It's in the R40 residential zone, so there's no public water sphere, there's on-site wells and septic systems. There is wetlands and water courses on the plan. Now, this plan, obviously, plans are conceptual in nature. What they're doing is they're showing you that something can be built there that meets zoning regulations and public health codes. That's what you're seeing here. You're not seeing any regulated activities on this plan, okay? So what has to happen is it has to be submitted no later than the same day they submit to us the Wetlands Commission called their form to you. Wetlands Commission don't approve subdivision plans, they approve regulated activity. But in the case of subdivision with wetlands, they have to give a report one way or the other to this commission. So at their meeting on, let's see, I think it was just a week, right, Meredith? 10/19/23. There are no regulated activities for the subdivision. There are regulated areas. The applicant has been applications referred to the IWC, and they forward a favorable report to the institution. I have a copy of the letter in the file. So that bit of legal needs has been met. So again, two-lot subdivision, you create two new lots. So the lots ranging size from 0.92 acres, which is 40,000 square feet, which is 40,000 is the minimum required in the zone. And one is 57,107 square feet, which is 1.31 acres. And they propose to convey 3,044 square feet of land to the town for pilot purposes. So if you look at the bottom of the plan, you see the actual property line. But our regulations require on a local road for the applicant to dedicate 25 feet from the center line of the road so that there's a 50-foot right-of-way for the road, or at least as it goes is subdivided. So they have proposed that final strip on the bottom, that's going to be related to the town by a warranty. And that will meet the regulation that they have to provide 25 feet from the center line of that road. So they have done that. Let me see. Open Health, they have referred it to them. They have commented 617. I don't know why, because you see them. They say they're. I think that might have been a typo right there, but. We have a letter from Mike Kirby dated Thursday, October 12, 2023 that says both lots meet the requirements of the Connecticut Public Health Code for subsurface sewage disposal. The wells are at 139 and 140 Moxley Road are to be located. The MLSS calcs and design state lots 24 and 24-1, and that's been fixed because it's lot 22 and 22-1. The Uncas Health District picked that one up as being Meredith. So Meredith had a memo dated October 2023 with a number of items, and when they submitted revised plans on 10/18, she wrote a memo saying that they had addressed all of her comments from 10/6. Okay? So it looks to us like the lot meets the requirements of zoning and subdivision regulations in the town of Montville. I do have a suggested motion. And certainly, if you'd like, I can go through the conditions. I can read it into the record if you want, since there's a few of them, but I propose that it's not numbered right, I apologize. So number one is revised plan to meet IWC approval and duplicate data completion blocks on both sheets. That's just a sort of typo issue. Number two, LSL certified proposed iron pins is set in streetland monuments at the extreme ends of the subdivision on Rockland Road as set prior to enforcing the final plan. Number two, wetlands placards shall be placed by a licensed land surveyor at the 50-foot upper review area on proposed lot 22. As you can see, there's no regulated activity, but it's mighty close to the upper review area. So we've asked that they go out and put wetlands placards up. Limits to the upper review area, so the property owners of that new house will know not to go in there without proper permits. Number three, the Montville Department of Public Works Director shall be notified prior to any work in the town right away. That would relate to the driveways. We did refer it to Public Works, and we did not receive return comments, but they will have to get driveway permits for the acreage. So they have to let the Public Works Director know. First section 3.9 GIS digital data shall be provided to the planning department prior to endorsement of the final plan, which means we need it digitally in the final plan. Quick plan deeds and its actions should be warranty deeds for road widening strips shall be submitted to the land use department for review and approval by the town attorney and or the director of land use prior to endorsement of the final subdivision plan. The Mr. Deschamps provided us with a Schedule A description, but we need to review the actual warranty dates to the town of Longo. And the final plan will be signed and sealed by the licensed land surveyor and certified soil scientist. And I do recommend approval with those conditions. It's a pretty simple subdivision, you don't often see.
I do have one comment. Since Mossy Road was recently repaved, there was drainage work done in this area. There is a catch basin out at the lower right corner. So it should be shown for future reference.
That makes sense.
We can absolutely add that as a condition. And where would you say on this plan?
It's close to the corner of the lot on the lower right corner.
Can you pick out one of the lot dimensions, like the number? 50 foot or 100
foot?
So it's down here, right? And I'm moving over?
Down in the area where it's X119.1, the elevation
bar. Okay, right here, elevation yeah. 119.3. So that should be added on there, that the plan shall be revised to show the catch basin in the area of elevation
1.9.3. Okay.
And again, you know, we just thank you for that. We did refer it to Public Works and didn't get that comment back. So there's no problem showing it on the plan.
Question for staff. There is or is not public services, water and sewer on this one?
No.
There is not.
There is not.
Wells and septic. Yes. Oh, wait a minute.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. I have the septic. It looks like there might be water.
No, it's all
no that proposed.
Oh, no, here's the well radius. I'm sorry. He yeah. didn't show it really well. It's usually a sort of big fat circle, but you can see where he shows well radius. So, yeah, well.
This one. Proposed well.
So, it's asking for a utility pole outside the stone wall next to the road.
Yeah,
correct?
It's on that one.
So, this provide new utility pole right at right in the middle, of the, right by the entrance to the first house.
There you go.
Between splitting the houses, there's a utility.
Existing
to provide new utility pole.
I mean, he shows that there.
Proposed
but these are only conceptual subdivision okay. plans. When the existing actual site plans come
lot.
In, this, these may change.
John Doreen Long. That's just showing the radius.
What is curious, what's curious to me is he has it on the outside of the stone wall. Oh, cool. So they just did that road. It's on the outside of the stone wall. I wonder if there's actually enough room to put a hole in
it's
there without...
Narrow.
Yeah, I see
where
it is.
No, we'll own that no. property, so
we will own it. That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I know where that is.
That's within the area that's going to be deeded to the town for highway works.
Yeah, I see where
okay.
it is. Yeah.
So any work there has to be approved by the public works director.
We certainly don't want to damage that road.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's very nice.
No.
Should the location of the septic be on here?
It is.
You're on this.
So,
primary and reserve.
Oh, that's what the primary and reserve is.
Primary
okay.
reserve. Yeah, yes.
Primary got it. Thank you.
And the yeah. other one is. Close to the front of the property.
Yeah, we'll get right there.
And And these locations were approved conceptually by the health department, by the South District.
Thank you.
He takes it right to the edge of the 75-foot well radius.
Yeah, I was just going to say
that. I mean, he's right on the number.
Right. Yeah.
I know that. That's why we're having to put wetlands to Cocker Dove.
No, the well to the
south. Oh, the well.
The well. Yeah. He's taking it to Doreen Long's property.
Well, yeah.
Like right to 75-foot.
Yeah.
Well, we have to make sure he does that before the health department will approve it. That's why we, if needed, we require that they show wells and adjacent properties. So when we review this to Ongus Health, they look at their records, which were probably originally all of our records, and look for wells and septics on adjacent properties. Mm. To make sure that 75-foot radius gets in there.
Is there a radius from a structure for a proposed well? I don't see that that's on there at all.
I don't think there is. Actually, there is a separating distance from a house to the septic. Mm.
Right. I knew that as well. But what about the
well? I don't know, honestly. I can find out. But it would have to be any of these individual site plans when they come in would have to be approved by the South District for the actual show. You know, nobody really builds a box anymore. Well, sometimes they do. And actually, I think Rick does build Bay's Ranches, so that's pretty close. But what'll happen is they'll have to submit to the zoning enforcement officer and the well, who is also the wetland officer, an individual site plan for each house.
Mm-hmm.
And each one will have to be reviewed by the South District before and by zoning and wetlands before the building department issues the permit.
Okay.
So we're going to have a second chance at lot development. This is just basically showing conceptually there's a place for all these things to be on this lot.
Okay, commissioners, any other questions for staff? Do you recommend we approve this with conditions tonight? Yep.
I also, started at the beginning of that motion, and we would like to add number 8, which is the revised plan to show the catch basin on Moxie River in the area of elevation 119.3. So that's, and they're kind of misnumbered in my apologies, so it's really 1 through 7, and we're adding number 8, condition 8.
All right, may I ask you to read the motion, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh, well, you have it
right there.
This is the motion I suggested for favorable approval. I make a motion to approve application 23 sub 3, 145 Moxie Road, parcel ID 009022000, Huntsville, Connecticut. Applicant property owner Sunmar RAF Builders for a 2-lot subdivision. In that, the application supporting documents and a plan entitled Subdivision Plan prepared for Sunmar RAF Builders LLC, number 145 Moxie Road, Montville, Connecticut, prepared by Advanced Surveys, dated 6/22/23 and revised to 10/16/23, and comply with all applicable sections of the Montville zoning regulations and subdivision regulations with the following conditions. I'll run through them again. Number 1, revised plans to delete IWC approval and duplicate native completion blocks on both sheets. Number 2, LS shall certify proposed iron pins as set in the street line monuments at the extreme ends of the subdivision on Moxie Road as set prior to endorsement of final plan. Number 3, wetlands placard shall be placed by a licensed land surveyor at the 50-foot upland review area on proposed lot 22. Condition 4, the Montville Department of Public Works Director shall be notified prior to any work in the town right away. Condition number 5, for sections 3.9 GIS, digital data shall be provided to the planning department prior to endorsement of the final subdivision plan. Condition 6, quick claim deeds, and I will say, and or warranty deeds for road widening strips shall be submitted to the Land Use Department for review and approval by the town attorney and or director of land use prior to endorsement of the final subdivision plan. And condition 7, final plan should be signed and sealed by licensed land surveyor and certified soil scientist. And condition 8 would be the plan shall be revised to show the catch basin in the area of elevation 119.3. And I will also add, I look over deeds and warranties, but I always send them.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move the motion that the staff read.
All right. Second that.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you. All right, under new business 9B, 23 Site 10, 225 Maple Avenue, parcel ID 077041-000, Uncasville, Connecticut. Applicant property owner, Town of Montville, for site plan review for a proposed animal control facility and associated site improvements. There will be a staff report, and I understand Silver and Petruccelli Architects are here. All right, we'll start with the staff report.
Okay, so just to let you all know, this is an application for site plan approval, not funding approval, site plan approval for an animal, proposed animal control shelter. So the Montville Town Council appropriated funding for the architectural engineering work to be done, as well as some monies to go towards construction of this shelter. The part of our contract with the architect was the architectural firm, Silver & Petruccelli, to get this to the point where an RFP could be submitted to determine the costs, actual costs of the proposal, but also to get a site plan showing compliance with our zoning regulations approved. Keep in mind, site plans, even if they're approved, don't have to be built right away. You have 5 years to build a site plan. Work in accordance with the site plan. After 5 years, or at the end of 5 years, if you don't get it, you can have another extension for another 5 years. With COVID extensions, which even though we're not in this pandemic anymore, extend it like for the rest of everybody's life. And I'm being facetious here, but there's so many extensions that you have to set up a chart to figure out. But at a minimum, you have 10 years to complete this site plan without having to go back and get another approval. So, property address is 225 Maple Avenue, parcel ID 77041000, Montville, Connecticut, which is the Montville Public Works Facility. The applicant is the town applicant property owner, and it's the town of Montville. Attorney is Matthew Willis Esquire, Allen & Sage, architect, Paul Jorgensen, AIA, senior project manager, Silver & Petruccelli, associate, civil engineer, Donald W. Smith Jr., PE, structural engineer, P2 engineer. Land surveyor, CLA Engineers Inc., site survey, Orville and Justin Land Surveyors and Associates Topographic Survey. The lot is 11.77 acres, but that's the whole lot. It's located, has 848 feet on Maple Avenue, which is a town road, and it's in the government zoning district, which basically says there are any municipal use is allowed in that zone, and there are no minimum setbacks, height requirements, anything. It's whatever the town would like your proposal to be. So, again, existing conditions is 225 Maple Avenue. It's a site in Montville Public Works Complex, including an apartment, salt shed, and the existing animal shelter. Proposal is construction of a 2428 square foot animal shelter and associated site improvements at the Montville Public Works Complex. So, we refer this to the assistant planner, and she has comments dated 10-12-2023. Refer to the town engineer on 10-10, comments are pending. Fire marshal, building official, and WPCA, comments are pending. We refer to Elvis Health District, who responded, 10-10 saying he had no comments because the property is served by municipal water and sewer. We referred it to the animal control officer, and I have not received comments on that. Bond estimate, none submitted. I don't know that we have to have one since this is a town project, because so once the project goes out and bid, there's insurance requirements. So we didn't require a bond estimate for this. We certainly can and think about it. Staff hasn't had an opportunity to thoroughly review this again. Our town engineer was on vacation. I met with him this morning at my weekly meeting. He and the public works director, and he has just started his review. So That being said, folks, the drainage report and stormwater management area will be an open detention basin that provides 16,700 cubic feet of storage that will provide improved water quality and reduce post-development heat runoff. But what I'd really like to do is turn this over to Silver and Petricelli and their team. They have a presentation. It's up on our smart board, which we had to quickly get smart about this afternoon. But it's here. So I'd like to turn it over to their team and let them make a presentation to you and all the folks that are here in the council.
If we have questions afterwards, we'll ask you.
Absolutely. You can ask Petricelli, whoever, and if you have things that I have to follow up on, you can ask me that question too. This is the first presentation.
Mm-hmm. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, commissioners and staff. Paul Jorgensen and Silver Petricelli, associate architects and engineers out of Camden and London, in two offices. And with me is Donald Smith, civil engineer, and Don will start out with the presentation focusing on site. Good evening. For the record, Donald Smith, Jr., professional engineer with an office at 56 Greenway Circle in Seymour. I'm here tonight representing the applicant. I'm the town of Montgomery.
The project site that we're talking about is the Public Works Complex. It is an 11.77 acre parcel, as we discussed. Maple Avenue is here down along the bottom of the page. And this is the southerlymost driveway going into the Public Works Complex. The salt shed is on our right. The existing dog pound is the dog animal shelter here is on the right here at the back. And then all of the garages all the way to the back. The back property line that are joined to the Union Railroad. This is Public Works offices. And then the new animal control facility will be here in the field and take up about 1.25 acres of that field area. We've got a simple driveway coming in. We have five regular parking spaces and one handicap parking space in the front. We have a little side driveway over here, following into the floor plan, but this would be more for deliveries. And the quarantine cages are over in this corner here. The animal control officer or other deliveries would be coming in and accessing the facility on this side. The proposed structure total coverage is about 3,350 square feet, including the outdoor runs in the back on this side here. And of that 1.25 acres that we're disturbing, we will have about 0.86 acres of impervious. The 3,350 for the building and about 34,000 square feet. Runoff from the Public Works Complex exits to the, let's call it, to the east. There's one storm line that goes under the garage here, and then there's another catch base and outfall over in this corner here between these two garages that goes down the back. In discussions with the Public Works Director, neither one of those outlets are in very good shape, so he said if we can design this facility as a strictly infiltration basin, and not impact the current storm drainage. That would be a good thing. So we have created a, an infiltration basin here on the side, and we have sized that so that under the 100-year storm, there will be about 1.5 feet of freeboard between the water surface elevation and the top of the berm slash emergency overflow channel. This riprap, this content right here is a riprap channel. That will be an overflow in the event that the basin got overflowed. And then that will run down into the swale that runs along the back edge of the driveway here. And then it goes reduction of peak flow as a result of this detention basin under a 2-year storm is a nominal 3/100 of a CFS, but on a 100-year storm, we're just under 4 CFS at about 3.8. That we will be reducing the impacts to the existing storm system on the site by the fact that we're having this infiltration basin. Our generator and mechanical relief equipment. The generator will be here. The mechanical equipment will be on this westerly side of the building. And the utilities, we will be this is a demolition plan. Utilities. We'll be setting a new utility pole here on Maple Avenue, on our side of Maple Avenue, and then coming underground across the field into the facility. The water service will be from an existing lateral that currently exists in Maple Avenue, and we will tie into that lateral here and then bring the water service. Sanitary service, sanitary sewer. Obviously, we're lower than Maple Avenue. There is sanitary sewers in Maple Avenue. The complex, there's an existing pump station for the complex down over here, right over behind the gas pumps. That is a duplex pump station with two grinder pumps, and then that lifts that and brings it up to Maple Avenue. The increase in flow from the facility is probably in the order of 400-300 gallons per day. As the existing facility is currently on the site, and we are expanding that. The daily flow from the new facility is expected to be about 400-500 gallons per day, whereas the existing site is probably 150. Proposed to reuse that lift station rather than activating a separate pump station for handling control. Mm. So we'll investigate that at the meeting. But we've got a simple drain system with two catch basins, one here in the main driveway, one over here in the corner, and those two will discharge detention basin, and then we'll have another catch basin over in this corner here that will come over and discharge into the detention basin. You're all familiar with the site. Just go back to the demolition plan. It is pretty simple. The old base wall fencing that's there, that's going to be removed. And there is a large tree right over in this area. We're hoping to save that, but it's not in very good shape. The vines have gotten into that. We recommend that that be taken down as well in the site. The development here is just a grass field. We'll be pushing back the limits a little bit on the side, but it's straightforward site plan. Is there any specific questions that you have to address them or call and give an overview of the building?
I have a question.
Commissioner, do you have questions? Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Why is it the whole complex shifted towards Maple Avenue a little bit? What would be the usefulness of that land between the complex and Maple Avenue?
We were looking to get that further back from Maple Avenue and just get some green space between Maple Avenue and the building itself and have it sit back farther so it's not some presence right on Maple Avenue.
Well, that becomes unusable, unproductive space. Green space is certainly good, but if you shifted it down, then there's more room for the town buildings and stuff in the future. That's a tight complex of buildings and such in there. If you can give a little space in there, it might be useful in 20 years.
May I ask a question, please? I think one of the reasons that we discussed that location said a little bit far back was keep the dogs a little farther back on the
noise
for barking. For noise purposes, so they would be sent a little bit closer to the facility and not close to the road where there are residential houses.
Yeah.
Right. They bark, dogs bark, they just do.
Yeah.
And then you can see here behind this backstop fence, there's quite a steep drop off to get down before you get to the paved area down below. So, although we're not close to Maple Avenue, pretty close to the top of that bed. So there really is not anything that I see that's going to happen with this bed. The old fuel tanks, I think, were over in this area here. Mm-hmm. The fuel tanks, so they're going to follow you. We're trying to separate that from the residential district on the opposite side of the street to the business that's possible. Why it just looks back. The rest of the site is just going to be area, although the animal runs will be behind in an outdoor play area, will be behind the facility. But that does not mean that if the persons that are interested in adopting rescue could not come out further than the grounds of the restaurant site. I think we're about 100 and
Yes.
Go ahead. What's the water use consumption going to change? It's now, you think, 200?
200 gallons a day, or we're going up to probably 500.
What is that based on?
Yeah.
Gallons per day per dog run.
And where do you get that from? See, my mother owns a boarding kettle. My mother owns a boarding kettle, and we definitely don't use that much water.
They got to wash clothes and towels.
Yeah, well, they don't use even that much.
I guess the question is, if it's 400 to 500, is it based on the number of runs?
Yes.
So is there there's an expected use per run?
Yes. 20 gallons per day per run.
Okay. You mentioned 3,300 square feet.
Yes.
So the physical plant is 24 and change.
The physical building inside is that in the back area here behind the runs.
Right.
This is all like an outside area. It's under roof.
Oh,
all,
yeah.
All of them have
to outdoor runs.
But the dog runs, a portion of those dog runs are under cover.
Yeah.
They're outside in the heated space, but there's a roof above their head.
Okay.
So the impervious footprint is the 3,400 square feet impervious footprint.
And what's the thought behind a new utility pole? We have all kinds of electricity going into public works. Why another utility pole? I'm curious.
There is a lot of power in there already. That was what we were looking at, and that's what I was thought we would be coming off of, would be the existing power down below, coming up to the building. I'm just trying to get to that drawing. Electrical engineer said we were going to be pulling new power into the public works rather than coming off the roof.
Pull the panels all over the roof. Is there any solar opportunity here?
The pole is down, and there's a pump station that the pole is down in here someplace.
It's between the public works building and the filling. That's correct. So why can't we pull off that pole?
I would have to defer to the electrical engineer of why he said we were going to pull the service to the front.
Yes.
You had questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hit me.
On the site plan, you're talking about you have a generator and mechanical equipment. Why are they on the Maple Ave side? Because it appears it looks like it's going to be mini splits, heat pumps, which are quite ugly.
Those were kind of pointed out the architects and mechanical engineers, but we've got the front of the building here, the parking spaces, the front door is over in this corner. We have the dog runs that are over here with a fenced in outdoor area behind them. Our stormwater management area behind that. This was kind of our only clean area for the utilities portion of the mechanical systems portion of the building.
I'd be fine with that if they put some kind of privacy fence up. I agree with my fellow commissioner on this. I mean, you just got a whole bunch of utilities looking at Maple Avenue. You can put a nice, appropriate privacy fence up and just kind of hide it.
Yes. Well, it'll help with the noise and all that, too.
Yeah, yes. Just make it a little more, it's just simple, cosmetic.
Yeah, because you end up, you might say you have the privacy fence.
Just some type of screening.
Screen. Yes.
We have some, we asked to put some vegetative buffer in front of these three dog runs that are here, so we've added a couple of spruce trees on this side. We need to carry those spruce trees around for those who want that option. We could add some evergreen screening
to do that around. Commissioner
Longton. Thank you. Mr. Chair, I have a couple of questions. What is, perhaps the easiest one, what is the purpose of the topsoil stockpile? What's that for?
When they go into their excavation, the first thing that they will do would be to strip off the topsoil from the building area, the driveway areas. They would stockpile that on site.
To be reused?
To be reused.
Okay, thank you.
And then after we use what we need on site.
Okay. Like I said, the easy one first. question now regarding the building services. This is not going to be in the same spot as the existing facility, correct?
That is correct.
So there will need to be new sewer and water lines run.
Correct.
All right. For purposes of the WPCA, they will have to put those lines in. Do you have an estimate of the cost of that? Yep. Okay, so you'll have to add the cost of the WPCA installing the laterals and the and water line and the connection fees.
Okay.
All right.
WPCA actually does that work?
Yes.
Not
all right. That's it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much for the presentation. Appreciate it.
No, we're not done. Paul's going to show you what it's going to look like.
I'll show you a few.
Do it as quick as you can.
No, it's fine.
Got to get a touchscreen TV.
Well, so this is an early concept, just to show scale. The intention here is that we're scaling the building down. It's a one-story building. The ridge height of the building is 25 feet 6 inches. And the orientation is slightly different than what this picture shows. The building's been rotated to make better use of solar in the future. Mm-hmm. We truly have one of the gable roofs facing south for future solar panel installation as needed. So this is the driveway, as you can see, coming down. We have the driveway coming off to the parking. And again, this has been rotated around somewhat. With the main entry, a gable, and then we have these flat roofs that extend off of the gable for the runs on both sides of the building. So if you go to the next one, right?
Its own catio?
Catio.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's a cat house.
Catio.
So then the cats, believe it or not, the cats can go out. They can bring the cages or bring cats in cages outside in this fenced area that they can be outside for a short period of time. The main kennels on the north side here, they do have an interior and an exterior component. There are doors, individual doors for each kennel that the animals can be let out from their area into an exterior area, and then from there they can be let out into this larger fenced pen for running more activity. So there's a multiple areas in each of the kennels. There is on the far end an oversized kennel for larger animals. That was a request. Not often. It's not used all the time, but it will be useful in this case. The kennels, the building construction, we have to meet the new dog pound regulations, which is overseen by the Connecticut Department of Agriculture. They are actually reviewing our documents to make sure we're meeting all the regulations. They come down to the details of the construction. All the kennel areas have to be built out of concrete block, durable materials. There are a lot of washdown in this area, and we do have trench drains throughout the building for that. The mechanicals, like I talked about, they're in this area, but we also have a full attic area that has equipment that is served by the heat pumps and the equipment out on the side. These are current elevations, and again, we have the main gable roofs, and then we have these lower kind of shed roofs. The initial concept was that this would have an agricultural look of this building, and which worked well with indoor-outdoor pen or kennel areas. And that's so it'll shed the water in the snow onto these lower roofs, and these are still covered areas for the animals to go outside of the thermal envelope of the building. And then, of course, we show the fenced areas as well on the sides. We've got the main entrance on this on the south or the east gable, and then the west gable is the back of the house with some of that mechanical walls to the side that we will screen. And then we also have a site. This is the site lighting. We have the site lighting for the parking and for photometrics around the building. Obviously, we're not creating photometrics for the entire site, the large public works, but we're dealing with this area directly around the building from the drive into the parking and the building, the lights around. These are some of the details for that. So, with that, I'll entertain any questions about the building design.
Yes, I remember quite a while back we were looking at this. And I asked a question, I never got a satisfactory answer. Is the utility area capable of being converted as a triage spot? If someone brings in an injured animal and it needs to be taken care of until a vet can arrive, do you have facilities for that or capability for that?
They were not explicitly requested in the program of the building. So what we did is we started with the animal control officer and went over the whole program what they do, all the spaces that are required to build. So we went through how many kennels, what kind of services and accessories are needed in spaces. Triage was not an area, a room or a medical attention was not something.
Right. The situation would be it's not something that happens often enough to need a room. But there should be a space that can be converted on a moment's notice to handle a specific animal until a veterinarian can take over.
I would think that the logical place would be right by the front entrance behind the office. That grooming area is an area that has a counter, a washing station, and has room for that kind of medical attention, if you will.
Okay.
I would think, and I am not an animal control officer, but we have one in the audience. I would think if an animal is in need of veterinarian care, that animal is going from A to B.
Yeah, right to the veterinarian.
I'd like to think that animal's not coming to us that needs a veterinarian. I'd like to think. I'm getting a nod. Please.
If the ACO picks up an animal that's hit by a car or something, bring it immediately to a vet.
Yeah.
If the vets are closed, there are 2 24-hour vets in the area that we can bring it to.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
So you mentioned that this is at the Department of Ag for review. So this building, you're also taking into consideration Public Act 23-138, which just went into effect. Because there's some criteria for space requirements for the animals also, been some adjustments.
Mr. Summers, can I ask you to identify what Public Act 23-whatever is?
Public Act 23-138, I don't have it pulled up. But it deals with the care and treatment of kennels, animal shelters, and things like that. And it has some space requirements.
Okay.
that recently went into effect.
They would have gone into effect October 1st?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
What would be the flow if I came to adopt a dog or to look at a dog for adoption? What would be the flow of people and animal control officers through the facility there? And another side question is, where would these people have a break, lunch? Where would they sit to do that kind of stuff?
The facility is very efficient in terms of its layout, meaning there's not a lot of space that's not really dedicated for the activities day to day. The public, to answer your first question, comes in the main entrance and into that vestibule, which is a little it's a large vestibule for a building of this size, because that is truly the place where animals are brought to the public. Generally, the public is not brought into the kennel areas.
Oh.
That they are, the animals are typically brought out to them for adoptions. And they can't, that's not to say that they can't be brought in, but the idea is that visitation and other activities can happen right there at the front entry. That most of the public comes in and sees the officer right there at their office.
So staff decides which animal they want to bring out?
Yeah.
Yeah, may I comment too? And because I've been in on some of these meetings, it is my understanding that door will be locked, and there will be a way to contact the animal control officer in the building, and then she would make a decision as to, you know, whether to bring the animal out or bring it in. But that was the thought behind that vestibule, to get people a place to sit or to bring animals out. Mm-hmm. See the public.
For interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, for an interview. And, yeah. You know, the office space is something, you know, I think Chris would opine that, you know, she doesn't have a place to eat lunch now she has an office, so she could probably eat lunch in her office.
I was thinking, aren't there volunteers there that assist and people coming and going besides the animal control officer?
I can actually ask Meredith, because she volunteers.
She doesn't have volunteers. It's herself, and then she has two part-time ACOs.
Yeah.
Okay, so she doesn't have anyone left.
Yeah, the same, that's what you mean, society.
The runs or kennel man.
So if I wanted to adopt a dog, I didn't know what I wanted.
Right.
Would I be able to see what you have?
That's at the discretion of the
owner. Most of the time, if they're going to have a dog for adoption, which has been abandoned or everything else, because they can't find the order or whatever, they put it online and tell you about the dog, and so you see dog A, B, and C, and said, oh, I like dog B. So you go down there and you meet dog B, you know, or A, B, and C. You just don't go walk in there and take a look and say, oh, I like that one. Because maybe that one you're thinking, the owner is still looking for the dog, you know?
And I think that the animal control officer has some discretion. The reason the door is locked is so people aren't wandering around.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
I fully agree with that. You know, they need to be chaperoned, but there should be a flow of people, a process flow of how this works. How does that process flow needs to be developed
for the next meeting?
Yeah.
You can ask
about it. I'm fine.
Yeah, because you may decide to let anybody walk in there.
If I wanted to adopt a dog and I had no idea what I wanted, I'd want to see what was available. And then I could ask staff, well, tell me about this animal and tell me about that animal.
Yeah.
And then they can bring them out to the area. But I get to pick which ones I want to see.
So, for example, the Humane Society in Quaker Hill, and I haven't been there many, many years, but I adopted a dog there once. You go through a locked door, staff person will bring you up and down the kennel so you can look at the dogs, and then if you want to play with one, they take that one out, and
right.
I can't remember if we went to a separate room or not. But it was at the discretion of the Humane Society staff who brought me through all the kennels to see the dogs.
Yeah.
So, or if you saw one that was advertised online, you could ask to see that. So, I know that's how I've seen it done at the Humane Society in Waterford. So, I don't know if that's her policy, but we'll find out for the next meeting what her plan is.
But just this layout doesn't endear that or make that easy.
Well, there's a hallway there.
I think, commissioners, we got to remember that we're not. This is not a pet shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're trying to build a facility to properly care.
I hear 2.3, 2.5. We're up at 2.8.
Okay. The main reason is...
3.3.
One thing I can say. The main reason of the animal control facility is a dog or a cat or just in case you have somebody that's a hoarder and there's a problem, they have to go there and get the 20 gerbils, the 10 cats, everything like that, plus the bunny rabbit and the guinea pig, and they have to have some place to store them until everything's, to keep them until you have a safe place to do whatever you need to do. You know, like you said, this ain't a, you call it a pet shop. It's just a place to keep them safe. Also, all of a sudden, somebody finds a dog that's registered in the town, but they pick it up, bring it over here, keep it there until they can find the owner. You know, that's why you register your dog, is to keep the dog safe. If you look at the tags, we know that the dog has a rabies shot because he's registered, and plus we know who the owner is. You know, that's it. No, you may say it's a thing there. Yeah, because a lot of times, if they can't find either this, if they can't find an order that abandoned, it goes to the Humane Society. You know, because that's where the specialty is, finding homes for pets.
I propose that this item be delayed until our next meeting.
I believe that's staff recommendation also, correct?
That is my recommendation as well, that this application be tabled to the November 14th meeting. Then staff will have had time to look into some of the questions that you all had tonight, and as well as to wait for interviews from the county engineer and other staff.
Oh, good.
I've just got one question. We covered the big animal, the dogs, the cats. Any facility for, say, like I said, Paula, sounds like small animals, like you call it, like I said about the hoarder, and you have to take care of, you know, like gerbils, mice, you call it guinea pigs and bunny rabbits.
Can I comment that I think the cat room has room for cages,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have a separate amount there. Then. Yeah, yeah.
And I can say, Chris gets very creative.
Yeah, I know she got very creative for the other plate. Yeah.
In there.
Yeah.
She gets very creative. Yeah. that room is warm and open room and will allow for cages for small
Okay.
So I think that covers it, that room.
Okay.
Second the motion.
All right. Any further discussion, commissioners? Thank you for your presentation,
and
gentlemen.
The motion was made by Mr. Poole?
Yes.
Mr. Poole? Okay. Thank you.
Second. Commissioner Estelle? Okay, no further discussion. All those in favor of tabling?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, motion passes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, on to zoning matters.
Zoning matters. That's my reason for zoning.
Oh, yeah, it matters down here.
Zoning?
Whatever.
Zoning matters.
Yes,
it does matter.
She's going from the patio Institute session to the street.
Oh, that's nice.
Mary and I are running around like maniacs.
I wondered where she was.
Give the report.
Okay.
Be nice to me.
Okay, we will.
All right, well.
Why be different?
Stacy has 897 inquiries this month via phone, email, and had 316 zoning permits open at the beginning of the period. She closed out 4 permits with CDCs and field inspections. She did an additional 7 field inspections. She issued 18 zoning permits, have 3 pending and 1 denied, which Liz and I are working on. There are currently 330 open permits. There are 3 new enforcement actions that she's working on, 14 ongoing. She closed out 1 zoning enforcement action. There are 3 wetlands complaints that she is working on. And she had 2 wetlands applications before the commission. 1 is to install a pool within the regulated area, and the other was the subdivision. This evening. and she has one ZBA application before her for a rear yard variance.
Rich Lane, where is that?
That is off of Dairy Lane.
Rich Lane, which
off of where?
Dairy Lane, Massapequa area.
Dairy?
Dairy. Oh, okay. Dairy. Yep. Yep. Thank you. All right. Any questions? No. All right. Land use director report, please.
Well, you can see what I've been doing.
Whatever, David.
Over the past month, trying to get to some of these reviews and getting to the approvals and reports that I actually requested, so now they're here, too.
Now you got to read them.
So now I'm reading them. I'm happy to say that our first RFP went out for the fishing pier for the geotechnical and structural engineering. We have awarded the contract to Race Engineering, and they're going to get started as soon as possible. Once they're done, we can put an RFP out for the construction. Then we can get the construction started. As you know, the fishing pier is funded by BEEP. Both launch improvements are funded by the town. The money's already been appropriated. We already have cost estimates, so we got to see, you know, what comes in, you know, once the RFP is done. So I'm happy to say we've actually started some. So, if all goes well, maybe next year sometime, the project will be started.
Good.
That's a good thing. With regards to this animal shelter, we do have the request for proposal has been advertised in the paper, and that took a little bit of work that Sylvan Petrocelli helped us with, assisted us with. So it's going to be invitation to bid. It's being advertised tomorrow for general construction of this facility based on the specifications. You'll be able to go into the town website, go to the finance department, you click on bids. All the bids that the town has put out are there. So you can see all the specifications. It'll be posted tomorrow there in the New London Day and on the Department of Administrative Services website. What that will do is that will get us actual cost to construct. You know, we have estimated costs from Silver and Petrocelli based on their professionals. We had a very low estimated cost from our town engineer from back in 2008 or 18, I think, some time ago. So what that will do is we will get an estimate of the actual cost to build this facility. So we'll know. Again, you know, the site plan approval of this is doesn't mean there's money there to build it. It's not an approval from the town to build it. It's an approval for a site plan, which is sitting there waiting if the funding is available to construct it. So we've done a little bit of work, and that's the next step. And the purpose of hiring Silver and Petrocelli was to get it to this point to see the actual cost. So that's where we are right now with that. So we got that out. That'll be advertised tomorrow, and again, working on the fishing pier, and you know, hopefully, I'm really excited about building that pier. That's gonna be really cool. So, I mean, not me personally, but you know, us. As
oh, yes, you are.
Yeah.
This is as a town building pier, so it's gonna be really such a cool project. So. And I have to say that Gateway Terminal, there's an area outside of their gates that they own that they are going to let us use for like a license. They're going to put together some sort of legal document for extra parking for us. You can't use the lot above, which we, you know, sort of tried my darndest to get them to use us that. But on the side, as you come down on the dock road, there's an area that they own, but it's outside their fence, and they want us to add parking.
Why can't we use the top again? Why can't we use the top again?
Because we don't own it and we don't lease it.
That's correct.
But we've been using it for...
People use it, but, you know, at any point they can block it off or develop it for something. That's where tractor trailers used to park in the factory. In that dirt lot above the boat launch area.
You're gonna, sooner or later they're going to be request to improve that road going up. That railroad, you know.
Yeah, dock road, that's tough.
As people
that's
are
been brought up a few times.
As people are using that pier, they're going to say, put in a stop sign or something.
There is a stop sign. You have to stop so that you can see if anybody's coming up the hill. Mm-hmm. That's the solution at the moment. But yeah, at some point that road really needs to be right. It's been on a lot of people's agendas over the years.
Yeah, but how's that done to
be done? Not in my time.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Well, we got other things to do first. But technically, so we have other business. We don't have any other business. Correspondence, we have none, do we?
No, we have none.
Okay. No executive session?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second that motion, let that out.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Way to jump the gun.